How's everyone? So good to be here. The first two services were outstanding, and I'm in a real good place today. And whenever I'm in a good place, the thing I love to do most is give God praise. So come on, praise Him in the sanctuary. Come on, praise Him for His mighty acts. Oh, come on, praise Him for His excellent greatness. Oh, come on, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Come on, let everything that's living and moving and breathing give God some praise. Hallelujah. 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 All right, and amen. All right, wonderful. I've just been having a tremendous time with my brother and my friend, Pastor Householder. It's good for me. God always knows what you need. This is the first Christmas without my father. He passed away last year, and I've been going down the slippery slope. And I thank my friend and my brother who have me come and talk about hope for the future. And that's what it is, because when you lose a loved one and you know that they're saved, you know that they're sitting around the throne of God with the Lamb of God rejoicing. And for us, that's good news. So although I do miss him being with me in the present, I know he's with me in my spirit. So it's just great to be able to come out and just to see what kind of house that I got. Anybody else down that slippery slope with me today, or y'all all happy? Nobody else down the slippery slope? Wow. They must have almost... Yeah, thank you. Come on, it's okay. The pastor might give you permission. It's okay. I know I'm not him, but it's okay. Slippery slope, okay. Yeah, I know it's a lot more in here. It's hard to admit that, because Christmas is supposed to be such a, you know, joyous occasion. But there's always another side, amen? And we're going to start the sermon, you know, with that today. And if by chance you are going down that slippery slope today, by the time the sermon is over, ideally you'll have hope for the future, just like I do now. I feel so different at this service than I did when I came in at 11. So here we go. Plus, I like the service. We can stay as long as we want. I'm just joking. No, I got a lot of stuff to do today, but I just like to scare you. My God, J5, okay. All right, here we go. Unfortunately, in life, our hope can be replaced by doubt, disappointment, and despair. As a result, our existential reality can be manipulated by the enemy or the evil one. And what the evil one or enemy does, he tries to drive us to a dark place full of dryness. And when he drives us to that dark place or to that dry place, we have the inclination or proclivity to think that we can make it in this life all on our own. We don't need God. We don't need worship. We don't need prayer. I can do it all on my own. I'm making the money. I'm making the decisions. I have the house. I have the car. I have the 401k, and I did it all on my own, and God did not help me. When the enemy gets us to that point, Bill Matthew, what he does, he plays on our ego. We want to call that the I modality. You think it's all about you, and when he plays on your ego, what he does, he gets in touch of your ego that's arrogant and narcissistic. He gets in touch with that part. And when you get there, I have an acronym for that. When your ego or your arrogance is out of control. My acronym for that is ease God out. E-E-S, G-God, O-out. You have eased God out of your life because you are in that dark place where God's light cannot shine in. But now, what do you have to realize? That God created us and God sustains us and God redeems us. And Romans 14:8 says, whether we live or whether we die, we belong to God. Whether we come to church or don't come to church, we belong to God. Nothing can ever separate us from his love, because he tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us. But even in all those promises, which are yes and amen, sealed and established, guaranteed in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, even in those promises, what we do, we battle with God and say, I can make it on my own. The darkness is fighting with the light. Though I know I'm right about it in John 1:5. It says that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. In another translation, it says, the light shined in darkness, and the darkness, it could not comprehend what the light was doing, because the darkness and the dryness, it wants to take over. It wants to take over because it wants the left out and left over and left behind to stay in that dry place, to stay in that dark place. Oftentimes, people come to church because they're hurting. They want to be healed. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired of no joy. And as twice-born, blood-bought believers who are saved and sanctified and Holy Spirit-filled and fire-baptized and running for our life and not tired yet, as those who God called Christian, we are God's people. Oh, Danny, this is just for free because I feel like it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Come on, Bible readers. If my people who are called by my name, that's us. And if we're called Christians, then our job is to give hope for the future. In other words, what God wants for the church is to become alive, is to become awakened. No longer does he want us to be dry, deceived, and disillusioned. That you come to church and just sit there and look around and have no conversation with God. You don't sing with the praise team. You don't love your neighbor. You don't shake a hand. You don't smile. You just ease on in here like you're doing God a favor. Well, I got news for you. God doesn't need us. We need him. Oh, I'm going to give you some biblical credibility in a minute. We're going to. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to shout later on. I'm just saying. Turn to the other side and say, oh, we're going to shout. We're going to have some fun. But I have to let you know I've been to the cemetery. I mean the seminary first. Once you realize I've been to the cemetery, then you understand. It's called biblical credibility. God has given us a model to follow when somebody who's dry or in a dark place or who needs help for their hurting heart. God has given us a model to use as a church to become salt and light. Sometimes, church, we hide our light up under a bushel when it's time for us to let it shine because somebody needs to have hope for the future. I know I'm right about it. In Acts, the 8th chapter, Kurt Eldridge, right around verse 27, it was a person who was hurt, It was a person that they called the Ethiopian eunuch. Oh, there you go, Ron. The Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was hurting. He was dry. Because a eunuch has no dreams, no desire, no destiny. It can't reproduce. A eunuch is just there. A eunuch feels marginalized, stigmatized, ostracized. A eunuch feels like nobody's listening to them, people not accepting them back in antiquity. Matter of fact, in Isaiah 56 and 3, the eunuch says that I feel like a dry tree. I'm disappointed. I'm in darkness. I'm in desolation. I have no dreams, no desire, and no destiny. Well, maybe I'll go to worship. And if you go and you peruse the pericope in Acts the 8th chapter, starting at verse 27, and the story reads to the end, but I want you to do some of your own homework, amen? Why y'all gonna work me to death and then don't want to do no work? Oh, y'all ain't with me yet. Oh, y'all gonna get there. Well, I do believe 2 Timothy 2:15, Bible readers, says study to show. My girl, that's a high five for you. It's good. Study to show thyself approved. Not study and sit there and hope the preacher know what he's talking about and did his homework. But you have to open up the Bible and actually get in it for yourself, which will provide your hope for the future. The eunuch came to Jerusalem and worship was vibrant. Worship was high. Philip had left the revival to come meet the eunuch in Jerusalem to worship. But guess what happened? When he got to Jerusalem to worship, the church said, you can't come in here. You're not Lutheran. Must be on this side. You're not Baptist. You're not Methodist. You can't come in here. You're not white. You're not black. You're not brown. You don't have a college degree. You don't live on the right side of town. You can't come in. Huh, but it was a church. Yeah. As a church, we're supposed to provide hope for the future. Read it. If you go to the very next verse, the Ethiopian eunuch, he got so disheartened, he opened up the book of Isaiah, and the text says he started to read it. And when he started to read it, thank you, anointing of the Holy Spirit. What the church will not do, God will do. I must be on this side. So God already knew the church was going to reject the eunuch. And because he knew the church was going to reject the eunuch, he sent Philip from a revival and told him people were being saved. And he told Philip to go stand in the Gaza desert strip and it's going to be somebody that comes by who needs hope for the future. They're going to be dry with no desires, no dreams, no destinies, but they belong to me. They're my child too. I created him and sustained him. And when the eunuch seen Philip, he said, come on, get up into the chariot with me. And when Philip got into the chariot with the eunuch, Philip asked the eunuch, he said, do you understand what you're reading? You're a eunuch. The church won't let you in. He said, well, can you help me understand it? Watch how Philip provides hope for the future. And in this fellowship and in this reading of the word, the eunuch got so excited. The eunuch said, stop the chariot and baptize me right now. Can I tell you something? The answer to the test today is our hope for the future is wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives us salvation. Acts 4:12 says, there's no other name under heaven whereby men and women may be saved. And that name is Jesus. So our hope for the future is Jesus. So the eunuch. Oh, yeah, y'all a little late. I'm going to be gone in a minute. I'm going to be at Elam. Y'all going to be still here clapping. You better not wait. Let's just get out. You better not wait. Go on and get your shout out right now. Go and give God some praise right now. Go on, get your shout. For those of you who missed it, we're going to shout later on too. So if you missed it, you're going to shout later, I guarantee you. Watch the model that's in the Word of God, Acts 2:42. Watch the model. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were reading God's Word. To fellowship, Philip, get in the chariot with me. To the breaking of bread. Now watch it. I got to juxtapose the breaking of bread as provision. Breaking of bread is provision. Let's juxtapose that with being baptized in the water. Provision. Because both of those connects us to God. The breaking of bread, call that communion. Say amen. Amen. That connects you to God. Being baptized connects you to God. Look at the model Philip is using. And then lastly, I believe in verse 34, you can look it up. And if you find it, you can say, whoop, there it is, 834. It said that the eunuch broke out in prayer. Yes, he did. That's the model that God wants us to follow to give hope for the future. We have to fellowship. We have to eat together. We have to break bread together. We got to study the Word of God together. And when people who need hope for the future see that, then we become attractive to them. Not only is that the model, it's our mission. Watch it now. Watch this. I like this text. 2:46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. Uh-oh. Now we can eat in the bridge, but you're not coming to my house. Can I come to your house? I can. What are we having for dinner? Chicken. Oh. She think all preachers like chicken. That's good. They broke bread together with glad and sincere heart. Here it is. The Hebrew word there, I'm going to use the Hebrew word because the Greek word, it changes a little bit. But for my study, the Hebrew word for sincere is pure. In order to fulfill the mission of God, you have to have a pure heart, a sincere heart. That means you're doing it unconditionally. You're doing it as a covenant and not a contract. Any lawyers in the house? A contract is full of if-then clauses. That's a contract. If you do this, then I'll do that. But a covenant is a nevertheless agreement. Regardless of what you do, I'm still going to have a sincere and pure heart. Let's peruse the Bible here for a minute. Psalm 51:10. David says, create in me a pure heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Oh, I'm just going to keep going. Cast me not away from thine presence and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. You need hope for the future. I'm at verse 12 now. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. A clean heart, a pure heart, a sincere heart. Matthew 5:8. Those with a pure heart, those with a sincere heart shall see God. Can I just stop here for a moment? I'm in the anointing of God. And then I see somebody with a Michigan Wolverine shirt on. Man, that's nobody but the enemy trying to take me to a dark place. No, I went to Michigan State, and I'm in the midst of reciting scripture, and I see a Wolverine shirt. I'm sorry, online. I can't help it. And I hope Jim Harbaugh don't go there, too. Sorry, you see how the enemy will take you to a dark place. Mike, you should have known better than that, man. You my friend. Where was I at? Matthew 5 and 8. Watch it. Psalm 139, 23. It says, search me, O God, to make sure that my heart is pure, that my heart is sincere. Acts 15 and 9, it says, O God, purify my heart by faith. It's something about your heart that's very, very important to God. God wants your heart. Because where your heart is, everything else is there. Matter of fact, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Where your heart is, that's who you love. Matter of fact, your heart is so very, very important. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man judges your outward appearance, but God looks at your heart. It's something about your heart. You got to have a pure heart in order to do the mission of God. You got to have a pure heart in order to fulfill the model of God. So watch it now. Let's do a little recap. You got the model. You got the mission. But you can't do it without the Messiah. Oh, Jesus. The Messiah shows up. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Now, what's germane to us today, hope of the future, we've already established, is for everyone. Watch it. Favor for all the people. That's everybody. As a Christian, our mindset is that there's room at the altar, there's room at the cross for everybody. All you have to do, Romans 10 and 9, is believe in your and confess with your that God raised Jesus Christ, his son, from the dead, and then you will be saved. It's something about your heart, and that's whosoever will. He says, come unto me, everybody that's heavy laden and burdened. Matthew 11:28, and I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's for everyone. And once you get there for everyone, after you have the model, after you do the mission, after the Messiah shows up, the text gives us a mandate. Here's the mandate that I like. After this, after all that talking, tired. After this, watch what happens. Can't miss this. This is going to make your Christmas right. You better speak to everybody you see today. Just say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever you need to say. Watch it. After this, I looked, and there before me was a what? Wow. So many, I couldn't count. Can I do my Pastor Mike imitation? Can I do it?
Hope our job is to make heaven crowded. We just want it to be crowded. And I want you to be a witness and, if necessary, use words. And you're not here by accident. I've been praying for you.
I love it. I come on Saturday just to hear him say that.
You're not here by accident. I've been praying for you, and God loves you, and he wants to hug you. Just reach up and give him a hug.
You know, that works. I say it all the time at my church, and people be just grinning. It's not by accident. You hear? You know, I had a little bit more swag to it, but it's good. I told you, we're just in a good mood today. It's Christmas. Everybody's there. It says that you won't be able to count. Watch it. It says every nation, every tongue, everybody's going to be there. Regardless of where they're from, it's going to be every tongue, every tribe. They're all going to be sitting around the throne with the Lamb. Now watch this. This has really caught my eye when it says, and they will have the palms in their hand. So that makes me think that, wow, the faith we have must be generational. Stay with me. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child the way they should go. And when they get old, they will not depart from it. So our faith is generational. And once you have that generational faith, what that does, it guarantees your place in the presence of God. Must be over here. Because once the presence of God shows up, your situation changes. God will never show up and the situation stays the same. Oh, I know I'm right about it. People who are hungry, he showed up, 5,000 got fed. The woman had an issue of blood. He showed up and it dried up. The man with the withered hand, he stretched it forth and it became whole. The woman at the well, she had so many men, she didn't even know. Jesus showed up and he said, the man you got is not your own, but the water that you drink of me, you will never thirst again. She got so happy, she dropped her water pots, ran into the town and said, come see a man. And everybody came to see him. It's something about the presence of God. The presence of God will bring you joy. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, now, this is the Bible reader's part of the sermon. Oh, y'all missed that. I didn't hear you. Turn. It's okay. Say, just the Bible reader's section. This one. Well, I told you, we got long time now. If y'all ain't going to do it, we're going to just, y'all be walking out, and I'll still be, no, I'm just okay. Watch it. Psalm 16:11. In his presence is the fullness of joy. You know, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Ah, they're the Bible readers. They sitting in front. Psalm 126:5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Oh, my sister, you really know the word of God. Do you know Psalm 30:5? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So you see hope for the future. So see, I had a few tears this morning. Yeah, last night for my father, but I feel really happy now because I invoke the presence of Jesus. And once I invoke the presence of Jesus, he reminded me of my inheritance of everlasting life. And when he reminded me my inheritance of everlasting life, I grabbed hold to my hope for the future, because it was at that point I knew my God can do exceedingly abundantly, much more than I could ever ask or think. It was at that moment I knew I could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. It was at that point I knew 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. It was at that moment I knew Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It was at that point I knew Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And then I'll do Job 14:14, Mac. Then I'm going to wait until my change comes. Why am I going to wait till my change comes? Job 19:26 says, because I know my Redeemer lives. Kathy Matthews, where does he live? He lives inside of me. I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. When God shows up, Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when he shows up, it's a great time. Something happens. Now, let us move to the Jesus, I'm full. Let us move to the Christmas part of the sermon. I will dare not usurp my brother's. He can't wait to preach. I'm just setting the table for him. And if I were you, I would invite all my friends. He's so excited for Christmas, and I love that. And his excitement has rubbed off on me, and, you know, I'm excited. And then he had my angel sit here to make sure that I'm excited as well. This is the Christmas part of the sermon. Watch it. Substance. The Hebrew word for substance is wisdom. It's wisdom. Stay with me. That's why the wise man had to show up for the substance part. The substance part has wisdom. And, you know, Jesus is the wise one. Luke 2:52 said, and he grew in wisdom and in favor. So the wise men showed up because the Savior was there to give the birth of Jesus the substance that it needed. Now, once you get the substance, what we have to do, we have to be sensitive to the struggle of birthing something. Yeah, that's why the shepherds were there. You had to be sensitive to the shepherd's needs, because, you know, the shepherds, you know, they're not living large. You know, the shepherds are, you know, they're just there. They're, you know, they're out in the field with manure. You know, they're just trying to make it. They're not up in the palace. They out in the manger. They, you know, they out at the barn where Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to be born. Now, what we have to ascertain is that Jesus was not born at Lutheran Hospital or Iowa Methodist or Mercy Hospital. No. He was born in a barn in a makeshift delivery room in the midst of urine-soaked straw, and it had a stench to it. But, you know, we got to be sensitive to people who don't smell like us. We have to be sensitive to people who don't have as much as we do. We have to be sensitive to people who have no dreams and no desires and no destiny. And the reason they have that, because their life is void of the light. Their life is void of Jesus. Their life is void of the glory of God. And it's our job to introduce them to the light, to introduce them to dreams, to introduce them to vision, to introduce them to production. That's our job. Our job is to say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. Can I tell you something? Come on. It ain't always been like this. I haven't always been in the church. You know, for a while there, I was living in disgrace. I was sinking deep in sin. But guess what? God found me, and he took me from a disgrace to amazing grace. Oh, I must be on this side. He took me from a sinner to a winner. Oh, yeah. He took me from the outside and brought me on the inside. Can't nobody do me like my God. You have to be sensitive to people's plight. You know, Pastor, I use Ferguson at 9:30, but it's too many people here. I want to make sure I can get. Oh, okay. Well, then I've gotten permission from the pastors. Let me find a good section so y'all will really feel this thing. I felt really embarrassed when the Ferguson decision came down. I did not look at it as a Christian. I looked at it as a African-American male who grew up in the inner city of Detroit, who's scared to death of policemen, and it's wrong. Mm-hmm. But I have friends from every persuasion. Amen. I do. You see, I'm calling out folks. I have a lot of friends here. Look at my Danny said something to me that was, it brought a little tear to my eye. He said, somebody said, how long have I known Pastor Hurst? Danny said, I can't remember not knowing him. I've been with the householders decades, and we even had dialogue about it. And now, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? You know, I had to sit there when my white friend says, oh, the verdict was right. Because I still wanted them to be my friend. But then I got a phone call from Spartan Nation. Let me turn on this here because we got a Twitter Spartan Nation. And they said, well, Michael, you're a pastor. How does the church look at this? Wow. I forgot about that. I forgot that we're Christians. So we can't look at this thing culturally. We can't look at this thing ethically. We can't look at this thing economically or politically. If we are a Christian, we should be looking at this thing through the normative lens of Jesus. Or you better say amen if you're a Christian in the house. So I looked at New York differently. I looked at Cleveland differently. I looked at it as those people are in darkness and they need to be brought to the marvelous light. They need to hear the good news. They don't need another political uprising. They don't need another conqueror on the scene. What they need is a word from God, a word that will take them from the darkness to the marvelous, marvelous light. Oh, I wish I had somebody up in here today that no heaven and earth may pass away, but it's the word of God that will stand forever. We have to start looking at things as the church. And not individual or through our ego. Sensitive to the struggle. Salvation and the Spirit. I told you, our hope for the future is wrapped up in salvation. And our job is to save people. I'm just out here, Mike. You just told me to go ahead. Look at here. I'm gone now. John 15:16. Come on. It says, you do not choose me, but I choose you to do what? Be a witness. Oh, that means go tell somebody the good news. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you to do what? Be a witness. Witness about what? Salvation, the good news. Isaiah 61 and Luke 4:61-1, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, set those who are in bondage free, give recovering sight to the blind. That's our job. Our job is to tell somebody about salvation. It's time for the shout. But before we get there, since I'm out here and I see I got you listening, just leave shout up there, but I'm going to set the shout up for you. Because I look out there and I feel it. Do you know in Revelation 12:10, it's somebody that they call the accuser of the brethren. And do you know how often he accuses you? Day and night. The devil does not like you at all. He's trying to steal your joy. But watch it. The one thing that stuck out to me, every time it said the throne of God was there, it said the Lamb of God was there. Why do they say that? If you go to Revelation 22, it says, and they overcame, verse 11, the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's how you overcome the enemy. That's how you move from darkness to light. That's how you witness hope for the future. Now watch this. In that Revelation text. He says, and they cried with a loud voice. I call that shouting. Did you see it? It says, and they cried with a loud voice. Look what they cried. What did they cry? What's the verse? They shout saying what?
Amen.
Okay. Now, if y'all get this part, y'all going to make me very, very happy. And I want y'all to put the 8 o'clock and the 9:30 service to shame. Watch this. I told you I thought Jesus used the King James Version because it's in red. If you go to Revelation 3:14, it says the amen, which is in red. Okay. And I'm like, well, that means that must be Jesus. Can't be Jesus. Jesus can't be amen. But then it says, the amen, watch me walk through it, the faithful and true witness. I was like, uh-oh, that sounds like him. Then it says, the ruler of God's creation. So that has to be Jesus. So amen is Jesus. They don't believe me. Amen is Jesus. Uh-huh. So now, this is what I want us to do. Now, I'm really depending on you, 11 o'clock crowd. Because I told you, when God's presence showed up, somebody who's hurt going to be healed today. Somebody who's sick going to get well today. Somebody who's in darkness is going to walk to the light today. Somebody who's knocked down is going to be picked up by the sound of your voice, because the name of Jesus is amen. So here it is, the first two sections here. When I say amen, you say amen. When I say which is, you say Jesus. And then I don't care what y'all do over there. No, you just jump in. You just pick which one. We'll do. Watch this word my son taught me the other day. A mélanger. Go read that. Look that up. That means a mixture. I told y'all I walked by the school. Y'all didn't believe me. So y'all can do whatever y'all want. But these two sections, I want you to say Jesus. These two sections, when I say amen, you say amen. And then when I say which is, you say Jesus. And then you can do whatever you want. You got it? Amen.
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 Amen. Which is?
Jesus.
Which is?
Jesus.
Which is?
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Which is?
Jesus.
Which is?
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Which is?
Jesus.
Which is?
Jesus.
Oh, I like that. Now watch this. When I say praise the, you say Lord. Praise the.
Lord.
Praise the.
Lord.
When I say thank you say Jesus. Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus.
You say I did whatever I want. Doesn't it feel different? Amen.
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 Which is?
Jesus.
Which is?
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Which is?
Jesus.
Which is?
Jesus.
Now for those of you who didn't open up your mouth, just give God a hand praise. Just give God a hand. Come on, lose your mind. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Now watch it. Now watch it. He starts with amen, but then watch what he does. Watch what he does. After he says amen, can we put that back? Watch this. Watch this. No, go back. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. Watch this. After he says amen, watch it. See, praise and glory, and you see that substance? You see the substance there? See the substance? Wisdom. Wisdom, and now watch. When I say thank you, and thanks, and honor, and glory, and power, and the strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
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 Which is?
Jesus.
Which is?
Jesus.
Don't that feel good? Don't that feel good? Don't that feel good? Can I tell you something? I think this is universal. Whether people are saved or sinners, when they get in trouble, the first thing they say is, help me, Jesus. Uh-huh. Yes, they do. Because they know the power of that. So now, why do you think when you bless your food at the end, you say, amen? But what you're really saying is, thank you, Jesus. You learned something today, huh? I learned it when I read it. I was like, wow. So now I had to say on the funnier side, I had to say, no wonder preachers always begging for amens. You know, can I get a? Oh, yeah, that's right. This is a Lutheran church. I'm talking about who Baptist? No, that's the Baptist church. I forgot. Pastor Mike, you don't beg for many amens, huh? No, he don't. He's so humble. I love my brother. But I grew up hearing the preacher beg for amens. And I used to always say, why are you begging so much for amen? But now I know why. Because it was Jesus. And it puts you in the Spirit. The Spirit brings joy. I'm rounding the corner now when we're done. The Spirit brings joy. No wonder Mary said in Luke 1:46, she said, my soul is magnified and my spirit rejoices in the Lord. Spirit brings joy. John was on the Isle of Patmos. Yes, he was, all by himself. But he said, on the Lord's day, which is today, I was in the Spirit. He was by himself, yet he had joy. Ah, is that an oxymoron? To be by yourself, yet have joy? Oh, it's a whole nother different sermon if I want to preach. It's the difference between being alone and being lonely. But maybe next time. He was all by himself. And he was in the Spirit. But yet, he had to have joy. Because why? God was there. How do I know the presence of God was there? Well, I think if you scroll down to about verse 14, give or take. It says, when he heard the Spirit of the Lord, Danny, it said he fell on his face. He fell at his feet and he started worshiping. And that's when God said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. The hope for the future is the beginning and the end. Stay with me. He's the author and the finisher. Ah. Which is Jesus. Isn't that great? I want to end with this. See, Danny, I done preached a whole different sermon. I'm just out there. I am. Just went a different way. But watch this and I'm done. Good time too. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, come on, y'all know it. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. All right, here. Come on, everybody know this next part. Say it with me. On Christ. On Christ. On Christ,
the solid rock I stand.
All other ground
is
vain. Wow. That's our hope for the future. It's wrapped up in Jesus Christ, our gift from God. And God loved us so much. He sent his only begotten son to die. And whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. Thank you, God. Amen.
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 Which is? Which is, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Which is,
Jesus.
which is...
See, I gave y'all whole thing. Come on, hallelujah, y'all. Hallelujah. 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 The highest praise. Hallelujah.